This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And we made it to Friday, Brent.
And it was so easy, too. What a great week it was.
It was.
You got a little downpour in the middle of the week, and our plants were rooting first. And here we are on Friday.
Downpouring yesterday. What are you talking about?
Was that just yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, it was nice.
I was hiding underneath a tree talking to you from the Capitol.
Oh.
I didn't have a cap or a hood or an umbrella or anything.
All right. Well, it's Friday, and there's things to do this weekend. There's things to do next week. We're going to go into the holiday. We're going to talk about that really quickly, the first part of the hour. Second part of the hour, actually, we're going to talk to Jason Unruh about the Cherry Fest.
Yes,
right?
Coming up next
and
week.
And the volcanoes, and, of course, it's the weekend for World Beat Festival, but we got some news to talk about
the
first.
The what festival?
World Beat. World Beats. It's a cultural festival downtown Salem at the waterfront.
Not like beets that you eat?
Yeah.
No?
No, yeah.
Otherwise, I would have been there.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Like I beets. Love beets.
It's going to be every food booth serves borscht, you know, which is
what?
It's beet soup. Beet soup.
I've never had that.
Borscht. It's a Russian.
I'll take the pickled beets any day.
World Beat, like the pulse of culture throughout the world. World Beat Festival is pretty
fun. All right.
Apparently you haven't been to World Beat, so
no.
We're going to encourage you to go out there and check it out.
Okay.
See if I can find some information on it. I've got to talk about Bill Post a little bit.
Just
because his connection to KYKN, his representation of our area, and the bill that he keeps hammering and trying to get through. I love it. Anyway.
Which one is it?
It has to do with allowing sales of epinephrine.
Oh, the cold medicine.
Yeah, the cold medicine without needing a prescription.
Well, that would just make sense.
Well, it doesn't. Yeah. That would just make sense.
I'm just
all
saying.
Right. So this is the fourth time. All right. Since you bring it up.
Sure.
Hey, Bill. Thanks. It's the fourth time he's brought back a bill for non-prescription purchase of pseudoephedrine. Pseudoephedrine. And the issue is, like, you got to go to your doctor. You got to get a prescription. It's a waste of the doctor's time. It's a waste of your time. It's the most expensive way to get a cold medicine.
Mm-hmm. An effective cold medicine.
Other states basically find a way to do it without doing this, right?
Well, you used to not have to go see your doctor for it. The reason they banned it is because it's got an ingredient that they make meth out of.
Yeah, it's the pseudoephedrine.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, they use that as meth. And so... the policy, what people would argue, is a success because it did, seizures of meth labs plummeted in Oregon after they took it off the shelves and put it behind in the pharmacist counter.
But
so
it's still around.
Worked.
But it's still around.
And this is what gets me. 2018, I don't know how they know this. I don't know. They're checking at the border.
Mm-hmm.
55,000 Oregonians crossed state lines to purchase pseudoephedrine. And a brand name for that, folks, the original Sudafed, kind of your standard Sudafed, and it would be one of the brand names, but there's others. Oregon and Mississippi, again, are the only states that thinks that this is the way to handle it. And Bill would like to see it changed.
I would, too.
Bill, we're so casual here because, you know, your name is so synonymous with the years you spent here at KYKN. And anyway, I should say Representative Post.
Yes.
Representative Post would like to have this one. So he'd like to just place it behind the counter and track the purchases like other states are doing.
Just like they do with cigarettes.
There's a purchase technology. And you'd see meth lab declines in other states that don't require the prescription.
Right.
So why is this hard? Why? Because it makes perfect sense. And two, because it's being promoted by a Republican.
True.
If he were a Democrat, this would sail right through.
You think so?
In Oregon. At our legislature, supermajority.
Yeah.
Anyway, other things about that, if you want to check out, you can search Bill Post's name in the Statesman Journal. But keep up the good fight of sensibility in government, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, World Beat Festival. Before we get to the news, and we start hammering on why it was necessary for the populace to go into revolt and gridlock downtown Salem to get some attention. So, World Beef.
Yes.
All right.
This weekend. Okay.
So actually starts tonight. So the theme is India, like East Indies, India. There are dance classes. There's music. There's food. There's the dragon boat races, which a lot of my friends participate in. It's very popular in these dragon boats. I don't know how else to describe them. And teams, you know, kind of row together and race these decorative boats. That happens all day, pretty much. And there's food, Indian food. And this is a part for you, so make sure you time this right. 8:15 p.m., Dave.
What?
There's a DJ. He's going to lead an interactive dance lesson so you can learn how to dance, you know, Indian style.
Whichever way?
Yeah. Musical acts all weekend, jewelry, baskets, crafts, Peruvian crafts. It's free today if you want to go out to Riverfront Park. And on the weekend, it's, they recommended a donation today. And on Saturday and Sunday, it's $5 to cover the cost. Anyway, it's fun. It's one of those fun things practically every weekend at Riverview Park.
I can't wait. Yeah. We have a caller. Rochelle wants to talk about the Sudafed thing.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Rochelle, she's going to have a take on this. Tell us
Sure.
Well, how do you feel about it, Rochelle?
Well, I think it's foolish because, for example, last week I went to Walmart and purchased a curling iron. And it was locked up behind a glass door, and I had to get an associate to unlock the door, and I had to buy it right there in that department. They do the same thing with razors and certain other products where it's locked up behind a glass door and simply controlled that way. They could do the Sudafed the exact same way.
Why would they lock up a curling iron?
I'm guessing that it's an easy thing for it to be shoplifted. I don't know.
Wow.
But it was a $20 unit, for heaven's sake.
I can't see that being a hot commodity.
There must be some application we're not familiar with.
But for some reason it is. I know that the razors are, the razor blades are, you know, various different things are under lock and key. Well, you know what? Sudafed's right there in the same department.
Yeah, I agree with you. And my family, we have a lot of allergies. People are suffering from this. And in the wintertime, you know, sometimes you just need that.
Yeah.
You need
absolutely.
That. And you have all these substitutes.
And it dramatically increases the cost of trying to acquire that thing that should not be a prescription, because you do have to go to the doctor. You do have to get the prescription. It's a waste of the time all across the board. It's easier to control otherwise.
That's right. It's just as easy to control otherwise. When we're in California, I mean, if any of my wife's relatives are even in California, she's like, would you please go into the chain, you know, chain pharmacy or drugstore and bring back some?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, every time you go to California, you just go buy it there and bring it back, and we're not making meth out of it. There's got to be a solution that doesn't make it so hard and so expensive for the rest of us. I get the goal.
And having it under lock and key would be a deterrent for somebody wiping out the whole shelf.
Yeah, so like in California, if you don't have sinus problems, you're not experienced with this. California, you can go into your Walgreens or what have you, and then you have to go to the pharmacy department, and you get it from them across the counter, and you have to show them your driver's license, and they record who's buying it so that they know somebody's not buying, you know, 20 boxes all over town. But that's how it's handled, and it's a lot easier than having to go get a doctor's prescription.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that.
Bye.
World Beat this weekend starts today. You can go out there, have a lot of fun. And then about the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking about Cherry Fest for next week.
Mm-hmm.
And in between here and there, we have to talk about the Senate Republicans coming back.
Yes.
Them coming back, what they're going to try to accomplish in 2 days, and whether or not the rally yesterday made a big difference or not. All right? This is Brent DeHart, and I'm here with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Hamblin's Nursery. Great place to go visit.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. Hopefully by now you heard about the demonstration downtown at the Capitol.
Which I covered at length yesterday.
Yes, we put Dave Bourne downtown in front of the Capitol, and maybe you heard it as truckers honked their horns and you read about it in the paper. There are a few things about it specifically I want to point out.
Okay.
And you pointed this out yesterday from the live remote.
Yes.
We had truckers out there.
Yes.
We had loggers out there. We had ranchers out there.
Farmers.
Yeah, yeah. Farmers, ranch. Who does this represent? Agricultural industry, transportation industry, timber industry.
Mm-hmm. There was moms and a lot of kids out there,
too. A lot of blue-collar jobs.
Yeah.
A lot of people who are not, you know, Wall Street-type executives. Aren't these the people that are supposedly represented by the Democratic Party?
Yeah.
The people working day-to-day, paycheck to paycheck, people who are making things happen in the state of Oregon, right?
Absolutely.
But they feel like they've been thrown under the bus, thrown under the truck, thrown mm-hmm. under the tractor, right?
Yeah, right.
So I thought that was interesting. You got to look at what industries are out there demonstrating against what the Republican leadership is trying, the Democratic leadership is trying to do. And all of them are the little guy. They're either small business people or they're employees just trying to eke out a living, driving a truck, driving a tractor, doing some logging, working with their hands, and trying to support their families. And the other thing that connects all those people, a lot of them are rural. I mean, it's like it takes this kind of audacity on the Democrats' part to get that rural-urban divide of Oregon to a boiling point where people are just like, enough, enough. So here's the other thing that we really have to note. If you look at the article in Salem Reporter, the quotes. Joe Kennedy, he's from Sweet Home. He drove up to Salem for this. These guys are saying, hey, we think it's going to come back. We want to make sure, even though Senator Courtney said, hey, the bill's dead, they want to be good and sure it's really dead. And that if it comes back, that they're coming back, right? All right, so a rancher is quoted in the article, Janet Mulder from Drain, right? Again, rural, outside of town. It launched a Facebook group called Timber Unity. It's more 6,000 followers just like that.
Wow.
Right? And then supported, suddenly it's supported by the executive officer at Stimson Lumber, who we talked about, of course, that they're cutting back their operations in the state to a huge degree because of all these policies that are passing. All right, so let's see. Truckers, Washougal, Washington, mm-hmm. came down from Washougal, Klamath County of Malin, Southern Oregon cities, Roseburg, Banks, Lebanon, Tillamook.
Remember, I said in my report there was one from South Bend,
Port Orford.
Yeah,
right. So these things, they're all over the state. I mean, it is. Hopefully, this will wake up some of the Democrats that this is not their issue, this cap and trade, but they're going along with their caucus. You have to think there are some Democratic votes out there that this is not really my issue. But I understand the cost is the caucus and it's the governor's issue, and I'm going to be a yes vote. And with this kind of pushback is how you get people to get back to the middle and off the left the fringe, right?
Right.
So those were, I mean, where they came from and what industries we came from, it really important, not for only for us to note, but also for the governor to note and for the senators who think that this should be a yes, right? So let's see, a couple other quotes. Tiffany Monroe, she's the president of the Farm Bureau, Lane County. She said that the bill puts final financial pressure on rural Oregonians.
Right.
Well, yeah. If you're an elite, effete intellectual out of Portland who wanted to talk about things in theory, well, these are real people, folks. Those are real people trying to bring home a paycheck and make it last to the next paycheck.
Yeah.
And they like to pretend, folks, oh, this is it. They want to pretend like only big corporations are going to pay this. ExxonMobil is going to pay this, right? Chevron Texaco is going to pay this. The utilities are going to pay this, as if we're not all going to feel it in our pocketbook.
How come they don't understand that it all trickles down and that they just pass it on to us?
So this is going to be harsh. But do they not understand, which means that they're stupid?
Right.
Or they fully understand, which means they don't care?
Right.
Which one is it? Hey, Democrats, are you stupid or do you not care?
That's a good choice.
I'm usually this harshly partisan, but this is a one-party deal.
Right.
This is a one-party deal. John Parks is quoted. He's from Sheridan. He says, my alarm goes off at 1:15 a.m. I leave at 2. Sometimes I don't get back till 6. He spends an hour with his wife. He goes to bed. That's how hard working he is. And this is going to affect his pocketbook, and he knows it.
Yeah, right.
Then you go after this guy? You're going to go after this guy? And and of course, the issue is, and we've talked about this week, is that it's not even going to do any good.
Right.
It's not even going to do any good. You're going to disrupt people's livelihoods, and you're going to create a government bureaucracy, and you're going to create this slush fund, and you're going to create a level of unaccountability that I'm not comfortable with. And it's not even going to do a thing for the world climate. Right?
Right. I heard an expert, as a matter of fact, last night, that this cap and bill trade, the cap and trade bill mm-hmm. that they're wanting to pass is to affect climate change, right, for the temperature of the Earth. And it would only change it 1/1,000th of a degree in 99 years.
Oof.
Not even measurable, but it would destroy the economy.
I suppose to give them any sort of credibility, they think that they're a domino. That California instituted this, and if Oregon does it, then a bunch of states will. And when the United States primarily does it, then the provinces of Canada will kick in, and then New Zealand will kick in, and that everybody needs to do it. And the argument that says China's polluting so much more than the United States doesn't mean we shouldn't take action. I think that's going to be their argument coming back. But yeah, I don't see the science. I don't see the science that this bill pushes us less towards extinction that they think we're headed for. All right, let's talk about the senators.
Before you do that, I can see other states laughing at us. There's some special kind of people out there on the West Coast. I can just hear that now. All right, senators,
okay.
Coming back.
Well, now, yeah, we have to say that because it's absolutely true, Dave, because people in Texas.
Right.
We've talked about economic development, the people here in town that do a good job and et cetera, economic development. People in Texas, you don't think that they don't have these industries in their phone registries? I mean, they will call Oregon companies.
Uh-huh.
That's how this works. They'll call Stimson Lumber. You think Boise, people in Boise aren't calling Stimson Lumber and says, would you like to invest more in Idaho? You can shut down Oregon entirely. What do you think? I mean, economic development people absolutely does this, people. So when it becomes more hostile here, not only is it less attractive to be here, but someone else somewhere is noticing in the other states, and they're going to make incentive packages
to get people to leave. Bring the jobs and the economy, economic activity here.
So the senators are coming back. Oregon Republican senators are coming back to the Capitol. Most of them. Some of them are still concerned that they don't want to be trapped into voting on 2020, House Bill 2020.
And you can't blame them for that.
No. It's hard to trust anybody when you get into the legislature. But I think Peter Courtney is telling the truth, and even the governor weighed in, assuring them that bill is dead. No check.
Are they holding their nose when they come back?
They are not happy. Oh, I don't know. But there's a lot of work to be done. We've talked about
that. Yeah, there is.
So here's the thing about 2020. It still needs action because it's still on the agenda as a third read on the calendar, which means it's been read once, been read twice. It needs time to vote on it.
But he declared it dead, though.
But it's still on the calendar. You still have to either send it back to committee to die,
okay,
or you need to vote on it. One of those two things is still going to have to happen on the floor.
Interesting.
Yeah. And all right, so there's a bunch of bills. A lot of them are budget. They're kind of perfunctory. We need it to operate the government. A lot of them have to do with money coming back to their districts. They're going to want to vote on that.
Right.
More so than they're going to want to vote on controversial policy bills. Right. So, and then actually the Student Success Act, also known as the tax on corporate activity,
mm-hmm.
That's in play as well. So whether or not they anticipate it's going to refer to the voters.
Well, I would
hope
so.
The question is, will it be a January special election or will it be pushed to November of 2020?
Hmm.
And that's a political move. So the Republicans are going to want to push it to 2020 because they think it'll ignite their base to come out and vote Republican candidates and get a higher voter turnout if it's in November.
And kill that bill.
And to kill the bill. They come out of passion to kill the bill, but they're more likely to come vote.
Sure.
Anyway.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. So a lot of work to be done. There's 104 bills is what they say.
I thought it was 140 plus.
103 stacked up waiting to action, according to the news report.
Huh.
So they're trying to do as many as they can on Saturday and Sunday before they are forced to
close the doors.
Yeah, close the doors for the session. And I think if they get a lot of this done, there'll be no special session that Kate Brown was talking about. calling in for next month, and then everything would be done, and you get all the back room machinations until next February when they go into short session.
So you don't think they'll call that special session they were talking about for July 2nd?
I think they won't. I think they won't. If they get enough done this weekend and get the budgets passed and get some of the highlights done, then the rest of it, they can just wait.
Okay.
We'll see.
Cross our fingers.
We'll see. We'll see how fast they can get it read, vote, gavel, move on. Right?
Wow.
That's right. Like politics.
Speed legislature.
Politics and government work so fast. Hey, I want to take a break here because we have Jason Unruh in the office. So we've got him right
here in the house.
In the house. Talk about Cherry Fest. Because we love to talk about fun things to do in the mid-Willamette Valley. And we don't want you to sit at home and watch TV all the
time. It's supposed to be a nice weekend.
We don't want you to prune your bushes all the time, do your chores. We want to come out and have some fun. So stick with us. We're going to talk to Jason when we get back. I'm Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Oh, I just hit my knee on the cabinet. I won't be getting up for a while, Brent.
Workers' comp.
Yeah, right? This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
All right, folks, this is a segment we're going to talk. It's Friday, after all.
It is.
And we talked about World B. We're talking about one more fun thing to do in June here in the Valley.
July.
It's June. Well, it's July next week, isn't it?
It is.
This is
when the event's going on next week.
Jason, welcome to the studio. Welcome back. Last time we had you, it was January.
Yep.
It's been 6 months, and I can't believe how it flew. We did Winter Brew Fest.
How did that go, by the way?
It went amazing. We had great crowds every day, and it went smooth, and it was a great time.
Yeah, and they had the, what's that game?
Cornhole.
They had the cornhole tournament out there. I went out and I met my son out there and his friends, and we're playing card games and grabbing food, and it was nice.
Yeah.
Was a nice thing to do in the middle of January, right?
Right around those space heaters.
But Monday starts July, and we got a July event. So tell us what fun we're going to have next week.
So it's Cherry Fest Northwest, which is the former Bite and Brew of Salem, which started in the early to mid-90s, about 93, 94. And it starts out July 3rd. We have the Budweiser King of Country concert featuring Tracy Lawrence, great country singer, ton of hits. Doors open that night at 5. Tracy Lawrence will go on about 9. But that's going to be a great concert. And there's still tickets left for that. And then we roll right into Cherry Fest starting July 4th, and that'll go through the 7th. The 4th is a really cool day down there. It's great for the families. I really encourage people to come down. It's basically Salem's 4th of July celebration and fireworks show that evening. And there's so many good spots down at Riverfront Park. And we've got games for the kids and a carnival and a kid zone. Live entertainment going the majority of the day. Food, drinks. So many things for people to do, and we're really proud of the event, and it was great last year. Went really, really amazing.
So is this event typically on the 4th of July, or is it typically a weekend event?
Well, in the past, before we rebranded and went to Cherry Fest Northwest last year, it had been the 3rd, 4th weekend in July, but we've partnered up with the city and moved it to the 4th of July last year, mm-hmm. rebranded it to Cherry Fest Northwest.
And bigger and better.
Absolutely.
So now we have, of course, 4th of July is Thursday. Right. A lot of people are going to take Thursday and Friday off,
mm-hmm.
like perhaps newsmakers.
Yes. We'll be on hiatus.
Thursday and Friday. But now you're saying we should also take at least a half a day on the 3rd as well.
Well,
down.
I mean, that's the hope. It's a great night, and it'll be a great concert regardless of how people treat it. But it really is like another Friday night with the 4th and Thursday being a holiday. So really, we have fun stuff going the entire weekend, but we encourage people to kick it off on Wednesday.
All right. Oh, look at the time. It's 3 o'clock on Wednesday. Gotta go, boss man. All right. We're out of here.
And I won't be home, honey, until probably midnight because I'm going to the concert. I'm going to hear some country music.
That's the hope.
How did you score him? I mean, that's a big country star.
Just
connections? Money?
Yeah.
Call his booking agent.
We don't have deep pockets by any means.
No, I know. And, that's why I was asking. How'd you get him?
You know, you just make an offer and hope it sticks and have a budget that you think you can hit And so we feel like it's going to be a great night for the city, and it's going to be really cool.
Sometimes those artists, though, they just want to come and do a concert like this just for the fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's Wednesday. What's it cost?
For the King of Country concert, it's $25, and you can go to our website, cherryfestnorthwest.com, and that'll direct you to the King of Country concert. Thursday and Sunday are free entry on the 4th of July and on Sunday. And then for Friday and Saturday at Cherry Fest Northwest, it's $5 a person. We cap it at 20 for a family. The last thing we want is for people to be upset that, you know, we gouged them as they're coming in the door. I mean, these events do cost to put on, and you know, there's a quite a big nut to crack, you know, to break even. And so we do need to charge, and we feel okay about that. We want people to feel good about it. And so we cap it at 20 for a family.
Well, that's good. And $5 a person, that's reasonable.
We feel like it is.
Yeah, it's really reasonable.
Plus, with multiple days where you have the opportunity to come enjoy the same thing for free on Thursday and Sunday.
I think I'm a little unusual, and it's not like I'm an extravagant spender, but I really don't mind parting with a few bucks, because frankly, I want you to keep doing it.
Yeah, right.
It's like $5 bill. I'll take a $5 bill. I may only be here for 30 minutes, but I want to encourage the organizers. I want to encourage the activity. I want these kinds of things to happen in my community. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, I'll put my wallet out and throw a little money at it. And I may or may not buy some beverage. I may or may not, you know, find something I want to eat.
I may or may partake.
And of
one
course,
or two.
There's all the insurance costs. There's all the, you know, City of Salem. You got security costs.
Sure.
All of these things.
Electricity, porta potties.
Oh, my gosh.
But the city, has teamed up with you on this, so it helps with your costs.
They take care of the fireworks and
well, that's a lot of cost.
Yeah, I mean, that it's a win-win.
Sure.
Because when we originally talked to them, you know, they had put on the entire event themselves, and they're not in the event planning business, and they recognized that, and they had a small team of people trying to put on a large-scale event, and so this is really, it's been a win-win, because we come in and we feel like we're pretty good event planners with Winter Brew Fest, Hoopla, Cherry Fest Northwest, other things that we're involved with. But to have them take care of the fireworks and give us a little break on the park that day, that's really, it's a great partnership, and it's a win-win.
All right, I've got some logistics questions.
Yeah, let's go.
People coming downtown, is there a special, is Chariots helping you at all as far as the transit people getting a circulator going from
parking
garages outside the area?
So we encourage people. There's a couple things. Is the parking garages downtown are a great spot. You know, they're all within a few blocks of the park. Uber, Lyft, riding your bike down. Parking at Minnow Brown and walking there, parking at Wallace Marine and walking over the footbridge. I mean, they're really not that far. So commuting together, carpooling together.
Mm-hmm. Highly
encouraged. You know, I mean, there's not a whole lot of parking in the south and the north parking lots.
Right. I wonder why that is. They didn't plan that very well. They want people to be in the park.
Because you should be walking there or riding your bike there.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Dave. We're talking to Jason Unruh and Jason about Cherry Fest Northwest. Coming up next week, it's at Salem's Riverfront Park. It starts Wednesday. It's going to go through the whole weekend. And there's a reason to go every single day.
Absolutely. Right? I mean, you got the concert Wednesday. You've got the 4th of July.
Thursday.
We've got a really cool, our headliner on Friday is an Elton John tribute band out of Florida. That's Friday night. Saturday we've got entertainment all day, but we have a cornhole tournament that people can still sign up.
There you go, Brian.
Go to our website, but we have a cornhole tournament going all day, and then Sunday's another free entry and a lot of great music on Sunday.
That is fun. I mean, cornhole? No, I'm terrible.
Are you?
I'm more likely to be able to karaoke Elton songs than I am to get that cornhole thing going. So maybe it's I mean, I don't know. I always thought I was a decent athlete, but cornhole and golf, I just stink.
You suck at it.
Maybe it's because I don't spend enough time doing it. I should recreate more, right? There's so many recreational things to do in the Mid-Willamette Valley.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a beautiful place to live. All right, so that was news to me, that Elton tribute band. I like those tribute bands. They do it in Independence as well at their amphitheater downtown. They do a series of six, and I think five of them are tribute bands out of six.
Yeah, original artists are great, and we do have quite a few original artists, but you know, people like to hang out and party to songs they know and grew up with, and if they're good musicians, which we try to vet all of our acts as much as we can and make sure that it's pleasing to a majority of people. This guy's really good. I'm excited to see him, and it should be a great night.
So you don't have any musical acts that just scream obscenities into the microphone? Try to avoid that.
He said he vetted them.
We try not to have that. Yes.
All right.
How long have you been putting on events for your what's your company's name?
Well, the Hoopla Association, we've been doing that for 21 years. My mom and dad probably say I've been running brackets and tournaments and organizing things since I was about 4 years old. So it feels like I've been in the event business my whole life. But the last couple decades, for sure.
Oh, awesome.
All right.
Experience. I like it.
There's a newsmaker listener right now. He's got to work Wednesday. She's got to work Wednesday.
Right.
Just going to go back to the office after lunch break and say, "Hey, let's go to Cherry Fest Northwest, right? On Wednesday, what time should they be there? How's she going to sell it to her coworkers? They're all going there after work
for the King of Country concert. Doors open at 5.
Okay,
on Wednesday.
Okay,
All
right, so that's doors a good open at 5.
So we can get a good full day of work in. Maybe start getting sick around 3.
I told you, 3 o'clock. Gotta go.
You need to get some air and get down there. Then you're gonna have a couple hours of food and drink and recreate. And the weather report looks pretty good.
It looks amazing.
And then live music coming up later in the evening.
Yep.
That sounds like a good time. And back on Thursday, because you know maybe you don't want to shoot fireworks in your cul-de-sac. You know, buy the little box and fire off those things. Maybe you just want to go watch.
The big ones. I like the big show.
The show last year was incredible. It was, I mean, I know I'm biased and I'm probably sound like I'm selling right now, but it was one of the best non-Disney shows I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty good comparison right there.
Yeah, it was awesome.
All right. Tell us the hours for the weekend.
So Wednesday at the King of Country concert, 5 to 11-ish. Mm-hmm. Thursday, 11 to 11. It does start off. We have the Stars and Stripes 5K run that starts at 8 in the morning. Mm. So if people want to sign up for that. But Thursday, 11 to 11. Friday, 11 to 11. Saturday, 11 to 11. Sunday, 11 to 8 p.m.
Wow. You got a full slate next week.
It's going to be fun. 11. That's next week, folks, in case you're not
Cherry
paying attention.
Fest Northwest.
That's really fun. I can't wait. Anyway, I'm definitely going to head out there for some music. I don't know if I'm going to go Wednesday night and see some country music or Friday night and see the Elton tribute.
Go for the 5 day. Go for the cycle.
No, there you go.
Is there a pass I can buy for all 5 days?
I think we can help you out.
Okay.
can you buy tickets in advance?
Yes. All info is at our website, cherryfestnw.com.
There you go.
That's cherryfestnw.com.
$5 admissions.
And $25 for the concert.
Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
Well, sounds like fun.
Yes.
We're going to do that. Hey, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I hope it's a great success, and you can't wait to do even more next year.
Appreciate you guys.
You going to come back and talk about Hoopla with us?
I'd love to.
Well, that's Jason Unruh. He's making things happen that are fun for us to do
in
the Salem area. So thanks for being with us. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the volcanoes to kick off the rest of our Friday. Stick with us. This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape. Welcome back, folks. We're going to finish up your Friday noon hour talking about the Volcanoes, as we usually do. Of course, their games are being aired now because now it's time for baseball season. The boys of summer are in town.
We're back.
In the house. Mitch Graff. Hey, Mitch, welcome back.
Hi, guys. Happy Friday to
you. After all that prep, you're so excited to have the season
Happy
underway.
Happy National Insurance Awareness Day. Did you know that?
I'm embarrassed to say I didn't know that.
It's a pretty big deal in insurance world.
Anybody who might have a little baby in the other room should get some life insurance, do you think?
You know, that might be a good idea.
Hey, Mitch, who'd you bring in the studio with us? We got a special guest.
We have a very special guest. We have Mickey Walker, who is the son of Jerry and Lisa, who just finished up, graduated from St. Martin's University up in Washington, and we're hoping good things happen here in the very near future. I'll let him talk about that in a couple of minutes. But want to come down, introduce him to everybody, and have a little bit of fun on the air.
Happy to be here.
Welcome. It's nice to have you, Mickey. I remember you playing a little bit. You played in a different part of the valley than my boys did, but we played about the same time my boys did. And, of course, then I would see your father's Facebook posts.
So I could
follow, you know. It's like, you wouldn't recognize me on the street, but I know how you pitched in relief, you know, the previous week. And that was kind of fun.
He's very good at keeping people updated on Facebook.
Well, he's a proud papa, a good reason. Of course, we're talking about Jerry and Lisa Walker, owners of the Volcanoes. And so what is up with you now that you're a college graduate?
Well, I'm working full time for the Volcanoes and just trying to do my best to continue the magic, you know, and help people rediscover that the magic all over again. So I'm working full time and I really enjoy it. And working with Mitch, trying to make Volcanoes baseball everything it can be.
Is Mitch suddenly afraid for his job? Is this breaking news right now that Mitch has to
You might have to ask him that one.
We work together on this.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we got Mickey here. He's joining the team of the Volcanoes. What a great opportunity to work in baseball. There's so many people that play ball, and they have to stop playing ball, whether it be at 12 or 17 or at 23. Or, in the case of major leaguers, they may get to 30, but they want to stay part of the game.
Oh, yeah. It's great. You know, I've been able to, been very fortunate to be able to do both, work in baseball and play in baseball. So it's a lot of fun. So it's nice that, you know, I grew up at Volcano Stadium my entire life, and to now be doing something that's more than just a bat boying is, it's fun. It's fun seeing the other side of the business.
So what does the business card say?
Well, I don't have one yet. I'm going to stay on him. I think Mitch needs to get me one.
I think I know that. you better be careful because he's also going to word what it says on it. He might put roles on it that cover the front and the back of the business card.
Well, like, because he's been around for 22 years, he knows every facet of the business. He knows from front office to back office to concessions to beverage. He knows a little bit about everything. And so he's just an absolute wealth of information for me and the rest of the staff. And so if Jerry and Lisa are out of the office, it's like we have them in the office because Mickey knows so much about it. And we need that because, as you guys know, I've been in business forever, been a baseball fan, but never an inside guy. So Mickey's that inside guy.
Nice. Yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. You know, I have been there since I was Gene's age, you know, my baby in the other room. I've been there since literally I was born. So I have a lot of that institutional knowledge, and it's fun. It's fun. And as long as that business card doesn't say assistant to the president, I'll be happy.
Okay. Mitch is a guy. Mitch is go-to guy or something. I think he's going to be itemizing that job description to encompass just about everything. Because it sounds to me
absolutely.
Like you could go around and help in every element of putting on the show.
Yeah. You know, I've done a little bit of everything, just a little bit of everything.
So what did you study in school?
Business.
You did
study? Concentration in marketing. So
let me ask you this. You're part of the Giants organization, the Volcanoes are. Your dad's got those three honking rings. if he ever, like, gives up the reins of the club, if he ever turns over the club to you, is that an inspiration? And, like, I don't want one of those rings.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah? Unfortunately, I don't get to control that aspect too much, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind having a few of those as well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hopefully we can stop those horrible Dodgers, and I say that just to get Bill Post's goat. Because right. if you weren't a Bill Post listener, he's a big Dodger fan. And
So is Mitch. He's a bleeds Dodger blue. I can't stand it.
Why do we let him in that studio?
That's exactly what I said.
Hired a Dodger fan.
Yeah, I know.
No wonder you're so excited that Don Larson is coming.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Vita Blue.
Steve Garvey.
Steve Garvey, yeah.
Steve Garvey.
Yeah.
A lot of girls had crushes on Steve Darby back in the day. Probably still do, right?
Absolutely. He looks the same as he did back in the 80s. That he looks just the same.
That was the frustrating thing about being a Giants fan back in the day, because they had the Dodgers had this top-notch farm system. Mm-hmm. They had this solid infield that they never changed.
Never
and
changed.
They were all good.
No.
They were all Giant killers. And, you know, they were just a really solid ball club while Giants were mired in mediocrity. But then there's this decade. And,
yes,
go Giants.
Let's keep in mind about this decade.
So what's coming up next week? Do you have a home stand for the 4th of July?
We just finished up our most recent home stand and added the first 10 games of the season. 8 of those were during the week, and the last 2 have been almost rainouts, but we managed to get them in, and we won both games. So we are first place by ourselves. We beat the Hops 2 out of 3 this week. So we traveled to Boise last night. They're playing in Boise tonight for the next few days, and they go up to Spokane. So they're on a big road trip getting ready to come back here July 4th, 5th, and 6th. It's probably the biggest weekend we have. We got the celebration, the patriotic celebration on the 4th, fireworks on the 5th, and then we have Don Larson himself coming in on Saturday the 6th. So looking forward to it. We have plenty of seats available, too.
Wow. So fireworks on the 5th, on Friday night.
4th and 5th. That's right.
4th and 5th.
Thursday and Friday.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
We were just talking about how the fireworks downtown Salem at the Riverfront. If people want to catch in a ball game and they don't want to be the Riverfront in the downtown crowd, they can go to the ball game.
And the chances are, it depends on what the fire marshals say. That could be our last 2 days of fireworks. It just really depends. But we're looking forward to both those days.
That is so cool that your home game starts back on the 4th of July. That is really fun.
Well, in the first 10 days was hard because 7 of those days were in a row. 7-game homestand, which is wonderful when you get to open up on your home turf. But 7 games in a row to start the season with a lot of new staff, a lot of new systems, a lot of new vendors, as you guys know, the food vendors. But we survived it. Now we're ready to rock and roll and get ready for the rest of the summer.
Ready to start thriving.
Mickey, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you this. We got Mickey Walker here in the studio with us, and you know, been around the volcanoes, and these players, they come and go because it's minor leagues, and hopefully they, you know, get to move up and so forth. When you talk about the Hillsborough Hops and refer to them as the rivals, is that a sense that it's in the organization and in the fans' minds that we've got to beat those Hillsborough people?
You know, I think it is, especially with them coming in, what was it, 6-7 years ago now. So, you know, they were kind of new, and they came in right at a time when we started not winning as many championships. So, you know, it'd be nice for us to climb back up, get, you know, win this first half, get into the playoffs, and keep that rivalry alive, because they've kind of been winning a little bit more than we have over these last few years. And so we're going to start taking that back, I hope, this year.
All right, fans, if you go to the ballpark and you're playing the Hops, just know that they're the rival. And if the newbie ball players are coming to Salem-Keizer for the very first time, they don't know it, then you let them know it. We're after those Hops. We were going to make sure that they were lower in the division standing.
Absolutely, yeah. Taking 2 out of 3 this week from them felt great. It felt great. So
that's fantastic. So we have the Volcanoes. They're on the road. They're in first place, and they are back on the 4th of July, 5th of July, 6th of July.
That's right.
Don Larson will be there. How's the food going?
The food is going great. Fans are responding well to it. The lines are very quick. The high quality on every single booth has been phenomenal. I think everyone's having a wonderful time. But you know what the good news is? Over 4,000 people a day are tuning into KYKN, listening to Payne Patchett, our new guy. And we'd love some of those people to come out to the park.
And we got to go, but it's going to be a championship season. Thanks for being here. Everybody have a fantastic week. This is Brent DeHart for Dave Bourne and the Volcanoes on 1430 KYKN.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.